Appreciate the Lord and all that He's done, and that's why we come together to give Him glory. Let's open the service day in prayer. Sister Davis said she would like to do it that way, and I think it's a good idea. Amen. Let's all pray that God will bless the service.
Praise
today.
The Lord.
Heavenly Father, praise we thank Lord. You, Lord, praise for all, Lord. God, that You've done for us. Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ. Lord, the Redeemer of our souls, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, through Him,
yes.
Lord, we give You glory today. Lord, I pray that You'll touch each and every one here today, Lord, and let us receive something from You, Lord, today. Something, Lord, that You have in Your Word, Lord, that can help us go another mile. Lord, I give You all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank You, Lord. If you'd sing this chorus with us.
I will.
Yeah. sing it. So used to getting together and being loud that it's good once in a while just to sit back and just let the presence of the Lord just kind of seep through us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you wish.
Amen. let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Mighty God, I praise you, Lord. I glorify you here today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all you did, Lord, upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus, that you saved my soul from sin, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. As we remain standing, amen, we're going to go into the Word of God. And our lesson today is the foundation of the Christian life. Lesson number 5, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Amen. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let's Acts 17 and 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Luke 24, verse 45 through 48. Verse 45 is this. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Acts 2, 36 through 38. 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now Romans 1, 2, and 4. Romans 1, 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth unto repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. The last scripture of our lesson today is this. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words. God, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to bring these things to light, Lord, that they can help us understand more here today, Lord, about repentance, how important repentance is. And Lord, about the sin that, Lord, that we had to take to God, amen, that we were born with. And Lord, these other sins, Lord, that are spoken of in the Word of God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to add one more scripture to this. 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. That's our atonement. Amen. That's the atonement that everything else comes through. I made mention last week, some of the things here kind of in this scripture, by his stripes are we healed. You know, I couldn't hardly see how we could pull that out. And you know, I'm right, we can't pull it out. But you know, through the atonement, everything comes. Not just healing, everything comes. Amen. If you don't have the atonement of God, you have nothing. So through these things, God does everything. Amen. He gives us our peace with God. Amen. He brings us back into fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ came so that he had power over sickness. Amen. He had power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He had power over my deliverance. Everything that we get. What does the Bible say in everything we do in word or deed, we do in Jesus' name? Amen. So, in a way, I was right. You can't take it out of there. Leave it there. Because it all goes together. Amen. But that's right. We are healed by his stripes. Amen. We are delivered. Amen. By all these things. See, when death came upon man, when death came, sickness came also. Amen. It's the sicknesses that take you out of here. But Christ had victory over it all. Amen. He could give me back my fellowship that I lost with God. Amen. And then when you get that fellowship, amen, then we walk in newness of life. I appreciate the Lord today. And in our lesson today, the foundation, the repentance and forgiveness of sins. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't ask for none of that. I didn't ask to be born in sin. I didn't ask to be shaped in iniquity. But the fact is, I was. And the fact is, we've got to deal with it. Amen. And the only way we can deal with it is through Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen. He's made me free. Now, what's the law? What is the law of sin and death? Law of sin and death is a man's knowledge of the inner, the physical, and the mental capacity of indwelling sin, not the act of sin, but the nature which causes man to sin. Amen. I was born with a sin nature. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And God demands justice for that. And Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without blood, this shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You say, well, I don't like it that way. That's tough. That's the only thing I can say about it. I mean, he's God. And you know, there's a song that said, we'll understand it all better by and by. Some things we don't understand. I don't understand how it could be that way. If you do, raise your hand. I'll get out of the way and I'll let you tell everybody. I don't understand how all that happened. But you know it did. And God has a purpose for it. God don't do anything without purpose. And you know, God don't bless error. The only thing God can bless, amen, is the truth. Now, I think, for as I'm concerned, I think that if I have an error in the Word, I think it's up to somebody, like Brother Davis or somebody or anybody. If you see that, correct it. Amen. You correct that error. But you know what? What determines how that's going to come out is upon the Spirit it falls on. Amen. Some folks you can't correct. But you know, I'm in this thing to make it. I'm not in this thing, amen, to make everybody think I'm somebody. Amen. I'm in this thing to make it. If I can be corrected, correct me. Amen. But, I mean, I'm not someone that shies away from other people's ideals, other people's things. I check them out. But guess what? I come back to this apostolic message every time. Every time. Folks, we are the only people, the only church, amen, that holds to this doctrine of faith. Amen. And we're the only church that tries to hold any kind of standard. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, come out from among the world and be you separate. Amen. You know the thing about a sinner people, they recognize a godly person. I could be walking my wife, and they say, oh, you guys got to be Christians. Well, if you know I'm Christian, come on and be with us. If you know we got it, come on and be with us. But then when they get in it, you don't got to do that. You know, Satan, now I know I take a lot, the salvation of Jesus Christ holds a lot of strength. Amen. But if you don't think God cares anything about your works, you need to go back and read what he said to all the seven church ages, all the seven churches. He told them every time, he said, I know thy works. And according to thy works is how he judged them. So there's some things that there's a truth in salvation, there's also a truth in your walk with God. And you know, I'm not perfect, and if you watch me long enough, you'll be able to say, ha-ha. You'll be able to say, aha, I knew it. But guess what? That shows I'm imperfect. Amen. But it doesn't mean that I quit everything. Amen. You know, repenting is a natural thing. You bump into somebody, say, excuse me, I'm sorry. You get in somebody's area, you say, excuse me, you know. You try to pass them by. Now, everybody don't have to receive that. But we repent. I was in a Cracker Barrel one day, and it was after they had some of these racial problems and everything, and I passed by a guy, and I kind of brushed him a little bit. I said, excuse me. I didn't say it very loud. He turned and said, you know, some people say excuse me. I said, I did. I said, maybe you didn't hear me, but I said it. So, you know, everybody don't have to receive it. Still didn't receive it. But anyway, I still repented. But that's the way things are in the world today. But I thank God that there is a place that I can find in God. There's a godly, amen, place that I can find in repentance. Amen. 17, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth every man everywhere to repent. We don't have any more excuses. That's all gone. But verse 31 of Acts 7 and 31. Acts 7, verse 31. Now here's why. He said, verse 30 said, as time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He says, because he has appointed a day in the which in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Now, Jesus didn't do this thing in a corner. Jesus healed more people in one day than they did all of the Old Testament. He didn't do this thing in the corner. And everybody, I checked some of the other religions, everybody wants to fit Jesus into their religion. But they don't want to say who he is. Oh, he was a great teacher, he was a great prophet, he was a great healer. But they don't want to say that he was God manifested in the flesh. Amen. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And we must know who he is. Amen. So Jesus came, God in the flesh, and everybody has a problem with that portion of it. They just can't picture God in the flesh. Amen. But there was no sin in Jesus. Amen. He didn't have a sin nature. He had the nature of God. Amen. You think whenever the priest had to go into the holiest of holies, he had to sacrifice a blood offering, a bull, amen, for his sins, and a ram for a burnt offering before he could go into that place. Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have a sin nature. He had a holy nature. He had the nature of God. His blood was okay. You know, I used to give blood quite a bit. And then one day they said, we can't take your blood anymore. Well, why? You know, you want to know why? Well, they said, we just found something that said you have to go to your doctor. So I went to my doctor, and he gave me all the blood. He said, your blood's fine. He said, you can look at it this way. At least you don't have to worry about giving blood no more. But my blood wasn't any good. Your blood isn't any good, amen, for your salvation. Amen. So your blood ain't no good either. Before anybody puts shaking hands with me, he said everything was all right. I'm not going to cause anybody to get sick. But God, he has everything laid out, every plan, everything that we need. We just need to follow his word. But for some reason, people just don't want to follow. Now, I read this book about all the church ages and all that all the way down. You know, they would come out a little ways. Then they would make a big spurt and go quite a ways. They take Jesus' name, baptism, oneness of the Godhead. And then they pull back in. What pulled them back in? Their traditions. Man cannot come out of their tradition. If grandma did it and grandpa did it, that's good enough for me. I mean, I wasn't raised in church or anything like that, but my dad, when I came into the oneness doctrine, he said, why did you go to them? He said, they deny God. I mean, I didn't know what to say. I just got into the church. But then something hit me, and I turned to it. I said, Dad, are you telling me there's three of them? He said, yes. I said, you say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is three separate gods. And all I knew to say very little, but it worked. I said, how come it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary? Wouldn't that make God, Jesus the Son of the Holy Ghost? He said, I know there's two. That's what he said. He said, I know there's two. So see, you just can't get around to some things. It's up to people. Amen. It's up to people. My niece called the other day. She's having a whole lot of trouble with one of her children. And, you know, there's kids will break your heart. And I know my mom and dad's kids broke their heart. My dad said the worst thing he ever did was not raising his children in church. But that was too late. He was on his deathbed and ready to go. But the things that happened, everything that happened in the family, we started dying from the bottom up. My youngest brother, he died. He was drunk in a car accident. Amen. And my second brother committed suicide. Amen. And the third youngest drank himself to death. And the fourth one, he died from injuries that he got in Vietnam. And I look at my children, and I said, thank God. Amen. I mean, that's what God does. We have benefits to serve God. Amen. You've got to make children to understand, you leave that stuff alone. Amen. Let God get in their heart, and he'll change them. You know, nothing starts without repentance. On the Day of Atonement, amen, whenever the priest went into the Holiest of Holies, all that day long, the children of Israel had to fast. They had to afflict their souls. They had to repent. All that day long, they repented. They prayed to God, amen, in their Day of Atonement. That would push your sins ahead for another year. You know, serving God today isn't much like they did, much different than they did in the Old Testament. They got their Day of Atonement. But then God put his word into prophets, and they went out amongst the people telling them how they should live. We have our Day of Atonement. And then you have the word of God that we expound from the pulpit that tells you how you should live. But everybody wants to take that and do away with it. Well, you look in the Old Testament, you see, where there's some of the prophets, they gave them what they should do. And if they didn't do it, God come down pretty hard on them. So you say, well, can I lose my salvation? Why would you even ask that? Amen. Just go and try to do what the Word of God tells you to do. And always remember this. Amen. There's a saving, there's a truth in salvation. There's a truth in your walk with God also. You can, like I said before, you can look into the book of Revelations and all seven church ages. He says, I know thy works. And he said, unless you repent. See, he's talking to the church. They already got the atonement. He's talking to the church. He said, I know thy works. And you want to be sure you go all the way to the book of the Laodicean church age. Why is that? Because most people believe that's where we're at. Jesus never has anything good to say about that church age. He said, you're lukewarm. He said, you're neither hot or cold. And he said, unless you're hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Sometimes you take what happened in the garden, amen, with Eve. You know what Satan gave her? More wisdom. He got a little philosophy there. And he gave her more wisdom. Amen. Today, the way things are today, I encourage you to get into the Word of God and find out the truth for yourself. Amen. Don't believe me if you don't want to. Although I won't lie to you on purpose. But go into the Word of God. Amen. And there you'll find your salvation. There you'll find your walk with God. There you'll find your healing. There you'll find everything, amen, that comes with this atonement. I mean, it don't hurt us to be different than the world. The Bible says for us to be separated from the world. And the only way you're going to separate yourself from the world is with the Word of God. That's the only way. I can't make you do it. I probably couldn't even encourage you to do it. But if you see in the Word of God, you'll see in the Word of God, you read Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, you got a long ways to go. We all do. Amen. But Paul said, I have not yet attained, but this is one thing I do. I press toward the calling of Jesus Christ, the high calling of Jesus Christ. I press toward that. Amen. And I know I have to repent. Back in the Old Testament, there was a daily sacrifice. Amen. The children of Israel, their atonement didn't make them perfect. Amen. But it made them perfect in Christ Jesus. We are made perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. He counted me worthy. I wasn't worthy when I come up to this altar of repentance. Amen. He opened his fellowship to me. Amen. Then I had fellowship with him. And before that, I never had any fellowship with him. The only thing I knew about God, and I think it comes natural, I knew I needed to repent. I did. I knew. I never remember a time where I didn't know that I needed to repent. Now, everybody here, you've repented over one sin or another before you ever got saved. But there's a scripture here, amen, about the ignorance of godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen, but sorrow of this world worketh death. Amen, you know, we don't like to hear those things, but there they are. I have that scripture here, and if anybody sees it, go ahead and stand up with it. Times of his ignorance. Okay, but anyway, God said, amen, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Now, there's a place in the Bible where God gave Paul had heard a saying about them, about a sin that they're allowed to go on in the church. It wasn't a good sin. It was pretty bad. Amen. It said in 1 Corinthians that this man, he had a relationship with one of his father's wives. Well, it didn't say one of his father's wives. He said with his father's wife. At that time, they had more than one wife. And quite possibly, this woman was probably as young as a young man was. But still, it was a sin. It still was something that God didn't like, and he wasn't going to put up with. Amen. Not because of so much of that he had that relationship, but he discovered his father's nakedness, is what the Bible says. He disrespected his father, and God said, put him out of the church. Amen. Put him out. Amen. And that today they're calling evil good and good evil. If we do that today, the whole world will rise up against you. Amen. But it still don't change the word of God none. In the book of Acts, or 2 Corinthians 7 and 8, pardon me. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 8, he said, for though I made you sorrow with a letter, Paul had wrote a letter to them, telling them what they need to do with this situation. He said, for I perceive the same epistle has made you sorry. In other words, hurt your feelings. There were but for a season. It wasn't going to last long. When somebody hurts your feelings, correct you, it don't last too long. Just turn around and get back where you need to be. Now, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 7 and 9. Now, I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. That this man, he was made sorrow after a godly manner. He repented of this thing. Amen. He repented of it. And he said that you were sorrow to repentance, for you were made sorrow after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. It was for your good. Amen. Paul said, I'm not sorry, but I am. He said, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, you might say. Now, Brother Davis, he helped me with something the other day, and then he come back around and said, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. Well, that's what Paul did. He said, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings none. Verse 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What does it mean the sorrow of the world worketh death? You can repent all you want to if you ain't got Christ Jesus. It worketh death. But if it's a godly sorrow, in a godly manner, you come to God with it, amen, God will forgive you. Now, many people ask forgiveness today. We know that. We all do that. We all ask forgiveness. Amen, but some ask it because of some big mistake they made. They're embarrassed, so they want to kind of cover it up. You can have many, many reasons for asking forgiveness. But when it comes to God and the things of God, it's got to be in a godly manner. It's got to be according to the Word of God, according to the Word of truth. Now, they've taken this Bible today and they put it in one little spot. Repentance. And that's it. They tell you baptism ain't necessary either. And most of them will say, well, I don't believe you have to have the Holy Ghost either. All you got to do is repent. You might as well take the rest of this book and throw it away. Because this whole book is based on repentance. Even from the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, amen, everything came off of repentance. Amen, they sacrificed that bull. And then he sacrificed two goats, amen, for the sins of the people. And for the sins of the people, but one is going to be blood sacrifice and the other is going to lay his hands on and a just man is going to take him out to the wilderness to make sure he doesn't come back. Now, he said he laid his hands upon that live goat. Amen. And their atonement was made with a live goat. Amen. Jesus died, yet he liveth. Our atonement was with the living Christ. Amen. His sacrifice had to be made to bring us back into fellowship. Amen. Then the atonement was made by the living Christ, as the goat was that they took out into the wilderness and let go. You know, sometimes if someone corrects us, it's a little embarrassing. You might say, well, he thinks I don't know nothing. You know, it's not like that. We don't know it all. We don't know it all. I don't care how long you've been in church, you don't know it all. And there's always some growth. When you repent, it don't stop right there. The Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, it didn't stop right there. The prophets were sent out among the people. And it don't stop here at our atonement either. Amen. The Word of God is sent out amongst the people. And if you take all of that away, you might as well kill the prophets. And that's what they did. They killed the prophets. They didn't like what the prophets said, so they killed them. Amen. Today, they don't like the full Word of God either today. But it don't change it none. It all stays the same. And guess who is responsible for digging in there and finding out what the will of God is in your life? Your pastor can lead you. But it's like they're saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So it's up to you. The responsibility lies at your feet. Amen, but it's in man to take responsibility for his actions. That's why I said, you brush someone, you say, I'm sorry, forgive me. You took responsibility for your action. And that's what repentance is. When you repent, amen, your fellowship is made back with God. You take responsibility for your actions from that day forward. Amen. But he said in verse 11, he said, for now he's getting a little bit encouraged. He said, for behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after, a glory sort, what carefulness. What carefulness did it bring to you? You start doing things a little bit, you say, I've got to watch things a little closer. Amen. What carefulness it wrought on you. Yea, what cleansing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. Amen. When you come to that, when you receive something from God and you don't receive it in a rebellious manner, amen, this is what he's talking about. Amen. He encouraged Titus. Titus was full of joy because the man received what he said, amen, and they rebuked the man and they turned this man over to Satan for the buffeting of the flesh that his soul might be saved. What did he do? He come and repented, and that's where the victory was.
Amen. A preacher can get up here and a pastor, he can just preach and preach and preach and preach. And it's very discouraging when no one does anything. But when they do, it's glory, hallelujah. Amen. But today it's just not a popular thing to teach against the flesh. Amen. Evil has been made good and good has been made evil. Now everything's okay. Amen. You know what? I believe there ain't nobody got a bad enough sin they can't be saved. I don't believe they got a sin that's bad enough that they can't be saved. But I do know this. Amen. That we are given a comforter through Christ Jesus. We're made overcomers through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then we begin to walk in newness of life, and then we take on a different walk. Verse 12. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this, for his cause. He didn't do it because of that man that did a sin, that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong. Neither one of them was that done. But for our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. He did it for the church. It was done for the church. Whether the man made it right or not, that was up to him, but it was still done for the church. But even this scripture here goes very well with all the things that I've said in this Old Testament scripture. As far as today, they had atonement. It was for them. We have atonement. It's still for us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, that's what the world needs to hear today. Amen. They need to get into the atonement of Jesus Christ and begin to walk in newness of life. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's what needs to be done with the world. They don't want to take that part of the scripture. They don't want to do anything. I came into the church when I was 27 years old. And I've always heard this message of repentance and then sanctification. Now, there's two sanctifications that I believe that's in the Word of God. One sanctification is in Christ Jesus, that's your atonement. And then there's a practical sanctification that you'll find in the Word of God. That he'll strengthen you, amen. He'll give you power, amen, to overcome the ways and the things of the world. Amen. But just remember this. Amen. Acts 2:38, that's our atonement. But then you got a whole lot of Bible left after that. Amen. And I haven't learned it all, so and I've read it. I've read it over several times. And I'm going to read it over several more. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that's my responsibility. I have to take charge of that. That's me. The preacher can preach a lie if he wants to, but it's up to me if I believe it. It's up to me to get into Word. I don't believe every man that gets behind a pulpit is truthful. I believe he tells you what he knows and maybe in some cases what he wants you to hear. But here's where you find your truth. Right there. Right there. Now, the Catholic Church will tell you not to read this. And if I was so far away from God as they are, I'd tell you not to read it either. Because you would catch me in a lot of places that I need to correct. You can still catch me. But I'm not going to tell you not to read it. No man can tell you that. That word is for me and it's for you. Amen. I think at this time that we find a place to pray, or you go get water, you go to the bathroom, whatever you have to do. Amen. I think Brother Davis will have the rest of the service. I don't know if he has anything to say right now or not. So he'll take the last service. So God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Let's sing this. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has
Amen.